So I want to start today with the anointing series. It's just, you've heard the word. It's so many times in church circles and Pentecost especially. It's been misused and abused, the word anointing. And if you're taking notes, I'll tell you right off the bat, I would really desire God's approval more than God's anointing. I know there's a lot of preachers out there and people out there who are gifted, naturally gifted. But have you ever heard a singer sing or a preacher preach and there was no anointing? You could just, it was a good talk. It really was a good talk and a good little speech, a little motivation even. But how many know? No life was changed. No one moved, it didn't move anything or anyone. It's just talk. How many know? Unless the Lord builds his house, we labor in vain that try. Unless the Lord, the Holy Spirit, anoint his servants to do his work, then we are all working in vain. But I hear Paul tell us in the Word of God, your work and your labor of love is not in vain in the Lord, because the Holy Spirit is equipping us. And that's why I know sometimes as preachers and leaders, we can get fatigued and tired and feel like you're not making a difference. But as soon as these words come off of my lips, they go and the Holy Spirit takes them to your spirit. And how many know the Holy Spirit knows what to do with what he gives? And so the Bible says in 1 John 2:20, our first lesson, I just want to do a biblical understanding today of the anointing, a biblical understanding, because there's a lot of talk. I remember one televangelist who said, I am the most anointed speaker in the world. I mean, right off the bat, something's wrong. If you have to tell everybody you're the most anointed, the chances are you're the least. So let's see if the scriptures are up there, Mackenzie, and let's preach. But you, somebody shout you. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now stop right there. That doesn't mean you know all things. Like I just said, if you think that you know all things, it's a good sign you're not anointed. Okay? And it's certainly not saying that you don't need to be taught by other people. Or that you know all things. Just want to put it in perspective. But when you tap into the Holy Spirit's anointing, how many know you're going beyond your natural mental and natural gifting and capabilities, beyond what you can do, into the spiritual realm of what God can do. So this is what's happening. You get an anointing, an unction, the Bible says in the King James, an unction from the Holy One. You get to have the unction to function. Somebody shout amen. You get the unction to function. Every one of us are called by God. Every one of us have a gift from the Lord. Every one of us are imparted a gift to serve the Lord in the capacity that he's blessed you with. But without the unction and the gift and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you're doing it in the flesh. And if you do it in the flesh, how many know the results are going to be flesh? But if you do it in the Spirit, big deal, right? So you have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth. He's talking to believers. But because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. So what's going on is false teachers have crept into the church. And 1 John is talking to the church. And so next slide. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning, which what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and abide in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us. Somebody shout eternal life. All right, so we're waiting on eternal life, but how many know we're in the kingdom, getting ready to go to the kingdom. And so in this earth kingdom work, we need a supernatural help, the Holy Spirit's anointing. And anybody here glad we're Spirit-filled Pentecostal church? I mean, we're not dependent upon the arm of the flesh. We're depending on the strong name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so these things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. Doesn't this sound like John 15? If you abide in me and my word abides in you, then you could ask whatever you will. That's powerful. And it'll be done for you. The anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anybody teach you. Okay? Especially false teachers. He's dealing with that. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as taught you, you will abide in him. Are you with that? So he's refuting these false teachers who are mesmerizing them with enticing words of man's wisdom, appearing to be anointed, but only gifted. Appearing to have some anointing, but only gifted. And it can very easily, in our day, can be very easily duped between somebody who has a charismatic personality and speech, who has some intellectual knowledge to move you and persuade you, but no anointing. And many of the believers, not only in John's day, but in our day, many believers have been deceived and are being deceived. Because I believe the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, abides in you, and you abide in him. And so if he abides in you and you abide in his word, then you'll have spiritual perception that comes from heaven and not from some man or woman's wisdom. No man-made wisdom. Man-made wisdom is not going to get you anywhere. You got to get your perspective, your direction, your anointing, your discernment, your protection, your anointing from God. Anybody else is going to lead you down a path that can be very dangerous, especially in our circles. So I want to deal with this, especially today, our first lesson. I want to deal with it as I do believe, according to our text, right? That there is a divine exchange. In other words, God is providing an anointing, an exchange from heaven to you, Holy Spirit, for a divine purpose to touch earth's humanity. It's a miracle exchange. I said, divine resources are heading your way through the power of the Spirit. And I think there's a lot of God's people are living below the potential of being used by God in the anointing of the Holy Spirit because they're leaning on the arm of the flesh. Is anybody hearing me? And it's imperative that we get this. We don't want to operate in the flesh. Pastor Ron and Melissa didn't give up our whole ministry life here so that you can build a big church with a bunch of people who don't know God. We want to bring you to heaven, all the way to heaven. We don't want to stop halfway and throw a bunch of you out. We want you to make it. We want you to know the truth and make the truth known. We want you to change a world for God. And I believe the Holy Spirit anointing is the difference maker. How many believe the Spirit makes a difference? One of the reasons that Oak Grove is still strong and staying steady is because there is the presence of the Holy Spirit in our midst. He's welcome here. He's in charge here. We don't do our agenda. We do his agenda. He's the ones in charge of the house. He's the one providing for the house. But he uses his church. We are the body of Christ. The body of Christ. When Jesus was on the cross, Mary and the women went to the, they were anointing his body. Not for death, but for life. God's not anointing this body for death. Hey, listen, we're not at a wedding getting ready for a funeral. We're at a funeral getting ready for a wedding. I mean, oh, the Lord's coming. And the best days ahead for the church are now. But we can't do that in our own strength. We need the Lord. So the Lord's going to touch us. It's a miracle exchange of divine resources, and they're going to meet human needs through loving channels, the church. And it's not simply human activity or ability or talent or gifting. It's a supernatural endowment. It's a deposit from heaven for God's purposes on earth to God's people to fulfill his plan. And the text says, you, the born-again, spirit-filled, spirit-led believers, has an unction from the Holy One. So the first thing we want to deal with is paramount, is the source of the anointing. If you're taking notes, the source of the anointing. Hey, your anointing doesn't come with your flesh. Doesn't come from your charismatic personality. It doesn't come from the Assemblies of God or the Church of God or the Nazarene. I mean, the Holy One is Jesus. The Holy One is the Holy Spirit. He's the source. He's the source. You know why? Because he can do what none of us could ever dream about doing if we trust him and depend upon him. So we open our series with this biblical understanding, understanding that Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm, verse 5, it is a gift from God to those who seek him. David said, you anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. David understood. David was a shepherd. He understand that, Jesus is our great shepherd. And he was caregiver. One of the lessons I want to talk about is how to walk in the anointing and give genuine, authentic care. I mean, the church ought to be a caring place, a compassionate place. Jesus said, the Spirit of God has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Amen. To bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that are bruised and captive, those who are bound. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus is a model. Okay, anointed by the Holy Spirit, Acts 10:38. Jesus of Nazareth was anointed by the Holy Spirit, going about doing good things and raising the dead. Okay, and so I don't know that the body of Christ is utilizing the giftings in the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. I don't know if we're reaching the full potential. So I hope this series helps you have a biblical understanding that there is more. Somebody shout more. Your cup can run over with the Holy Spirit anointing oil. And you can see references to the anointing and the anointing oil throughout the scripture. God anointed his servants to serve him in the kingdom. That's his plan. Simply put, you can never do God's work without God's Spirit. It's not going to happen. You can do it mechanically, but if you're doing it and want to see some results, spiritual results, fleshly results come from fleshly ministry. Spiritual results come from spirit ministry. So we're not trying to big numbers of people. Who cares if you fill a building if they're all lost? I don't care if you build a mega church if everybody in the church is lost. You missed your purpose. The anointing is what makes the difference. People can be mesmerized by your words. You can sing a song and every word and every note could be there. And though obviously gifted, no heavy burden is going to be lifted because you haven't spent the time in prayer. There's no anointing to set men free. No matter what you say, you have to depend on the Spirit. Amen? And so David said, my head has been anointed by him, by God. And so he realizes that his cup is full. He's full of the Holy Spirit, basically. And so you can't have direction, you can't have protection, you can't have resources. David depended upon the great shepherd who anointed him and had Samuel anointed with oil. Remember that? But the anointing didn't just start there. It was like four quarts of oil. And they gave you the recipe for the oil, acacia, all these different herbs and different things and to make the anointing oil. Basically what we use to anoint you, some of that. But basically, it goes way back, way back. I mean, God anoints for a purpose. He raises people up and he anoints them. And so he wants to prepare you and protect you. Can you say amen to that? He's preparing you for service. So in his kingdom, he anoints you. He anointed kings, he anointed priests, he anointed prophets, and he anointed you. Our text said, you have been anointed by the Holy One. And that's not just for John's day. How many know he anoints the church of the living God today? You are recipients of the anointing of God. If you receive, Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship. I said, we are, O Grove, God's workmanship, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. When God called this church 80 years ago next year in May, we celebrate 80 years. The devil tried to kill us several times. Can I tell you, he should have killed us and put us out of our misery when he had a chance. But he let us get up. How many know the devil is so dumb? You don't let us get up. How many know if we get up, we're going to knock him down. Because we might have been knocked down, but we were not destroyed. And seeds were planted in this house, and we have rebuked a few devils, and we've raised up a few leaders. I mean, the Lord's work at Oak Grove is not over. The anointing of God's going to continue in you. That's what Ephesians said. So you can't give up. He created you for good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. Whoever God calls, God prepares. And whoever God prepares, he prepares by anointing you for service. Remember, even Esther was anointed to be the wife of the king. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Everything was preparation. And all your life has been a preparation for the where you are right now. That's why I say the best days are ahead for you. And God's still choosing, and he's still calling, and he's still anointing. And those who seek him and desire to serve him, he will anoint. 1 Peter 4:10, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Faithfully, it says, administering God's grace. That's the anointing. That's the grace gift, the gift of God. It's the Holy Spirit. You can't earn it. Come on, Simon the sorcerer. You ain't got enough money to buy this. This is the Holy Spirit. He cannot be bought. He cannot be manipulated. He cannot be coerced. He's God in the Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. Are you hearing this, seeing this? And he comes in various forms, his servants. The Holy Spirit anoints and appoints. I said the Holy Spirit anoints and appoints. Sets kings up, takes kings down. And before he sets a king up, he had Samuel the prophet, who was already anointed to be prophet, anoint David to be king. He poured oil on him years before he became king in the palace. He was anointed as a young man in the shepherd's field because God's preparing you. So this is not a one-time, one and done. It's not a one-time show. It's no, you get up and have a performance. How many know this is a lifestyle of walking in the anointing of the Holy Spirit? And so he said, you are called to serve. And all the servants God chose and anointed throughout the Bible. That's why I want to give a little foundation here. Moses. How many thinks Moses was anointed? If Moses wasn't anointed, Pastor Ron needs to put the mic down and go home. Moses was anointed to lead God's people. So are you. We tend to make heroes of the faith, and yes, they were, but they were just humans, just like you and me. Limited in their understanding, limited in their cognition, limited in their resources, limited in everything. Without God, they were hopeless. But with God, he gave Moses a hollow stick. Thanks a lot, Lord. Ought to be able to lead all million of your people or more with this wonderful, beautiful stick. But it wasn't the stick. It was the God of the stick. It was God in the stick. You understand? I don't want you to turn to your neighbor and say, you're just a stick. But I wish you would. I just wish you would. You're just a hollow stick. Here's the deal. He anointed Moses to be a leader, a deliverer, a prophet, administrator, a leader of a nation. But Moses was not the source. The Holy Spirit was the source. The anointing was the source. Moses just a servant. A servant. Are you seeing that? And sometimes the servants get to thinking that they are all that and something else. But they're not. You just have to know who the source is. Can somebody say, I get point number one, Pastor? The source is God. Yeah, just a servant. The source is the anointing. The servant was Moses. Joshua, same kind of anointing, but different service. Joshua was anointed with wisdom as a warrior. Deuteronomy 34:9. Now Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom. How many know there's a spirit that's going to help you accomplish all that God needs you to do? You don't have to lean on the arm of your flesh. Whatever you have need of, my God shall supply according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit's going to be the supplier, the comforter. Huh? He's going to be the illuminator. He's going to be the activator. He's going to be the motivator. He's going to be everything you need. Anybody get to a place in your life and ministry, even marketplace or spiritual ministry in church, where you ran out of wisdom, money? Not us, not today, devil. I mean, oh, there's a miracle offer right here by the Holy Ghost who moved on you to meet that need. Are you seeing it? It's a miracle. It's going to be a miracle. And so Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid hands on him. There's this almost a divine exchange, not from Moses' spirit, from the power of God that Moses had passed along to the power of God for Joshua to lead. The power of God that Paul experienced, he's imparting power. He's not from him. He's saying, you can have what I have. Elijah said, you can have what I have. Elisha said, give me a double portion of that anointing. And the scripture declares that Elisha did twice as many, double for your trouble. How many know God answered the prayer? Elijah went up, Elisha went out. But if Elijah wouldn't have invested in the next generation, Elisha wouldn't have been able to keep the kingdom moving. Are you hearing? But he was anointed as prophet. Priests would anoint, Aaron would be the first priest, anoint his sons. They would anoint their sons. And the prophets would anoint and be anointed. And the kings would be anointed. And the church is anointed. You are anointed. You have an unction from the Holy One. You have an unction to function. You function in the flesh, and you're going to have a horrible time. No results. People ask, Pastor, how's the church going? I said, man, if you came to Oak Grove and only counted the people that were there, you would miss it, what God is doing at Oak Grove. To count the people at Oak Grove, you have to go around the world. Come on now. Because Oak Grove invested in people who sent other people to other places, and now they're seeing people saved. And so just imagine that's what's happening on planet Earth. Just imagine what's going on in the heavenlies. And one day soon, when we get to heaven, we will see the impact that Oak Grove Assembly of God made in 80 years on planet Earth. You won't see it sometimes till you get to heaven, but it's still the anointing we rested on him. And he built his church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Woo, that's some good stuff. Keep preaching, Pastor. Serve the Lord. He governed Israel for a time. He was anointed. That's Joshua. And then I think of, the tagline over and over. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Joshua. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Moses. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Joseph. And this one comes to my mind. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. Remember that guy? Has anybody ever heard of a Samson syndrome? He became a part-time Pentecostal. He thought he could be Pentecostal when he needed to and in the world when he wanted to. Can I serve notice on somebody today? You can't walk in the anointing and look at you can't go on the web, search the web, and look for trash, and then walk on Sunday and try to get an anointing. Come on, somebody. You either walk in the Spirit or you walk in the flesh. Those who walk in the flesh glorify the deeds of the flesh, and destruction is the result. Those who walk in the Spirit and by the Spirit reap everlasting life. So what kind of results do you want? You can't serve God and mammon. You can't have the anointing of the Holy Spirit and drink and carouse and cuss and fuss. And it's quiet in here. Let me get back to teaching. That was a whole lot better. Samson, he sticks out because he didn't just lead. He was given power, anointing to be a powerful warrior. Samson had a Nazarite vow. He was at the Church of the Nazarene, long hair. That was before the 70s. He would have never made it into the Assemblies of God. Never credentialed. Do you know what happened to him? I submit to you that Samson was graced with an anointing, but disqualified himself because he couldn't control his flesh. Do you know your weaknesses? I believe you have an unction from the Holy One. Samson had it, but he didn't know his weakness. And so when he fell prey to Delilah, you know the name Delilah means? Relax. Relax. It's the same thing King David did on the rooftop. Instead of being at war, how many know we are warriors for Jesus? It's not time for us. This is not the day to sit back and relax and get comfortable and be in your comfort zone. This is the day to make war against the enemy. Come on, man. We're in the kingdom. This is a battle for eternal life. Heaven and hell is in the balance. People are lost. The church needs to engage. Be gifted. Be anointed. Be the church. Be the church. But instead of being at war, he was on the rooftop. He's gazing and the anointed king got into trouble. Samson relaxed on Delilah's lap, told her his secret. She chopped off his power, his life testimony, blinded, bound, blinded, lost his purpose, anointed and lost his purpose because he leaned on the arm of the flesh instead of the power of the Spirit. Is anybody getting any of this? So you got to know your weaknesses. God's anointed you, but if you choose to operate in the flesh, the result is going to be tragic. And Samson, thank God, at the end of his life, he died. He did more for God in his death than he did in his whole life as a leader. And then there's Samuel the prophet, Elijah the prophet, Elisha, anointed by the Spirit, yet all had different anointings and manifested. So, Pastor, I just can't have it. I don't have no anointing. What can I do? You would be blown away by what God could get you to do. If you give Jesus your yes and surrender to the Holy Ghost, there's no telling what God can do with you. And then if you will release, and you will release, and you will release, and you are anointed, and you have an unction, and you have an unction, we'll make a difference. The church can make a difference if you're anointed. If you walk in the anointing, David was anointed. What? There is this power. Samuel, the prophet. Wow. Elijah, Elisha, anointed. Yet all had different anointings and manifestations. Samuel, a greatly respected prophet, was anointed. He anointed Saul. He anointed David with oil. Elijah was anointed to confront kings. Some prophets were anointed, but they comforted the kings instead of confronting the kings. And when the kings had results of losing the battle, the truth, Jesus said, you're anointed to know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You understand? If you abide in me and my word abides in you, if you're for me and I'm for you, if you're trusting me, I will take care of you. It's my kingdom. It's my church. It's my anointing, not yours. I'm only giving it to you as a grace gift, just like salvation. You have a purpose behind the anointing. Are y'all getting this? So Elijah was anointed to confront kings and false prophets and witchcraft. Jezebels can pop up in the kingdom. Jezebels pop up in the kingdom. And the more the activity of God's favor and blessing and renewal and righteousness prevails, the more the enemy wants to raise up Jezebels. And if you are spineless, if you, like the seven sons of Sceva, you try to go after demons in the flesh, they will chew you up, beat you to death, and send you out of town running and bleeding. You need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's not an option. I said, Old Grove, it's not an option. It's certainly not a suggestion. We need the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That'll preach in a Pentecostal church. Let me wipe my head and make my wife happy. David was anointed as a psalmist, as a warrior, as a prophet, as a king. The point is, there's an anointing, a special gift of grace from God who's called to work for those who work for him in ministry and or the marketplace. Don't say, this is for ministry, prophets, priests, and kings. Did you know that we're all a priesthood of the believer? Did you know you are the church? You're part of the body of Christ? God's gifted you with anointing so that when you go to the workplace, wherever your marketplace job is, you can have influence. And when they don't know what to do, you can have wisdom above and beyond your years. They can say, where did you get that from? You can say, the power of the Holy Ghost. Or maybe you won't. But I think the Holy Ghost will take the chicken right out of you. Remember the dance in the song? The Holy Ghost will take the chicken out of you. The Holy Ghost, y'all didn't know that. Well, never mind. Never forget this. Write it down. Write it down. He's the source. He's the one we serve. We serve. He's the source. So, anoint means to smear or rub on like oil. To smear or rub on like oil. He's the source. And then we're only going to get to two. We have to quit this. Got one point. All right, I get it. But I hope I drove it home. If you didn't get nothing else, you need to know he is the source of power. The purpose of the anointing, which you touched on, he causes us to have an unction, a supernatural ability beyond our natural giftings. He empowers us to live a life of victory. Can you imagine anointed people of God moping around? I'm not going to make it. I can't go to church today. My spirit is so depressed. What kind of a church? How many know we're the church victorious? We're the church triumphant. We're on our way to heaven. We've got an unction from the Holy One. Somebody said, Pastor, I could use an unction right now. Well, just listen to me for 5 more minutes. We'll see if you can have an unction to function. But the church of God doesn't give up when things get hard. God comes through. He prepares and he empowers. He enables us to fulfill our God-given purpose. Isaiah 61, I quoted it earlier. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. They didn't know what to do with Jesus. He walks into the tabernacle, sits in the seat that belonged to the Messiah, and reads Isaiah out loud. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And the Pharisees and religious leaders like, to the poor? I mean, no, he was on a different plane than they were because he was anointed. Do you see that? Above, he's seated in heavenly places. Preached the acceptable year of the Lord. Acts 10:38, I quoted earlier, God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. God was with him. Can I just tell you, I submit to you today. I know for 23 years for sure, I wasn't here before that. I feel like God has been with us. Come on, Oak Grove. I feel like the Lord has been with us. Ain't no way I'd come in here one day without the Lord. In fact, Melissa and I received the church one Sunday. The next Sunday we resigned. How many remember? And this is what our words were. We can't do this. We need the Holy. And he's been with us. Can you say amen to that? So learn who you are in Christ. Know your weaknesses. Know the truth about who God says you are. Stop believing everything the enemy and the culture and the world says. You are the church. There's an unction from the Holy One. You're anointed of God. And the enemy knows that if you get this, he's going to be in big trouble. Somebody needs to serve notice on the enemy today because Oak Grove has an unction from the Holy One. An unction to function. We have the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit abiding in us. That's why we can say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Whatever you engage in, God's going to empower. You engage, he empowers. You engage, he empowers. There is a spiritual correlation between your engagement and his empowerment. I'll give you one case in point. We got to go. Joshua, Moses' right hand, Moses laid hands on him for the anointing. He's a warrior. He gets in the valley of Rephidim, and he's fighting the Amalekites. Moses, the man of God, is on the mountain. He's pretty weary, getting up in age, and he's weary. He leans against a rock, and the Bible says, as long as his hands, how many of you ever read this? As long as his hands were in the air, signifying, I need God. I mean, no, this is surrender. I need you, God. Come on, try it, try it, try it. Come on, try it. I need you, God. As long as his hands were in the air, the victory is won down there. But when the hands began to lower, the Amalekites started taking the victory from the Israelites and Joshua going backwards. So two people, this will preach, two people down in the valley looked up to the mountain and saw the correlation between what was going on up the mountain and what was happening in the valley. Aaron and Hur. I don't know if it was a he and a she. I think it was two guys. Whoever mama named him Hur, I don't know what she was thinking. But they looked at the valley. They looked at the defeat. They looked at his hands down. And then they looked his hands up. They saw the victory. And so Aaron said to her, "Hey, we're anointed. We're going to go up there." And they grabbed him and they put his arms up, and the victory was won. Why? Because there's a direct correlation between what the Holy Spirit wants to do in you and what's happening down in the warfare. He wants to use you. You have an unction. I said, greater is he that is in you. Whatever you engage in, he empowers. Are you seeing that? Think of this and ask yourselves, what am I engaged in? I'm going to close it today with this. What am I engaged in? Can I just submit to you, Old Grove? If you're not going to engage anything, why do you need any power? Why would he give you power if you're not going to start the engine? Why would he empower you if you're not going to do kingdom business? Why would he give you the spirit to discern and the gifting to speak and to witness if you're not going to open your mouth? It doesn't seem right. How many know if you will give your yes to Jesus, he will get you involved in the ministry. He will empower you. So, well, I've never led a soul to Christ. Shame on you. Shame on you. What's the matter with you? Jesus didn't save you to sit on the pew and sit and sour and soak. He saved you to serve. Listen to me. You are anointed to serve. Serve him. Serve him in the marketplace. Serve him in the pew. Serve him in the parking lot. Put a smile on your face. The least you can do is smile. Think of it. It's an important notice for us as Chrissy and the team comes back. You can't engage in inappropriate websites and trash and walk in the anointing. Maybe the reason there's no results is that you're leading a double life. And that's why I opened by saying, I would rather have God's approval than God's anointing. Because God could actually anoint a donkey if he wanted. And it has been done. I'm living proof. Jesus was anointed. He came into town and John was baptizing in the Jordan. Remember that? And John said, "Here he comes. Here he comes." How many know that's spiritual perception? That's divine unction. Here he comes. The Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. That's him. It's not me, boys and girls. It's not me. It's him. Here he comes. And so Jesus said, "Hey, John, would you baptize me?" And John said, "Not me. You baptize me. I'm not baptizing you. I'm just a prophet. You're the Messiah." He said, "Hey, if you don't do that, then I can't fulfill the law. Got to do what I got to do." So John baptizes him. Up to this point, Jesus never did a miracle. Nothing. No credentials with the assembly of God. John baptizes him. The Bible says he came straightway up out of the water and the heavens opened. The heavens opened and the voice from the Father said, "Behold, this is my Son, who I am well pleased with. I approve of this one. Listen to him." So God's not approval is not on you because you are doing miraculous things or speaking incredible messages or singing in perfect pitch. How many know his approval is on your life because you're living in righteousness? You're walking in holiness. You've been preserved. You've been anointed. You've been set aside. He put the oil, the anointing oil, on everything. On the tongs, on the altar, anointed. On the showbread, anointed. Everything, the candlesticks, everything that went in the house of God was anointed. Why? Because it was used for the Lord. It was used for the Lord. And you have an unction from the Holy One. You've been anointed. You can't dance with the world and the Spirit at the same time. Ask Samson.